laws. And so we're going to begin reading from Romans chapter 3, verse 7, James chapter 2, verse 8, Galatians 6, 6 through 10, and Romans 8, 2. And we're in our Living Out Loud series. And what does it mean to live out loud? To live boldly and confidently and loudly for and to the Lord. So you want to live boldly and confidently for and to the Lord. Now, Romans 3, 7 tells us, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Everybody say the law of faith. And so in James chapter 2, verse 8, it says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Everybody say the law of love. So that's two laws. We're going to be spending our time talking about the law of love today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through 10 says, let him who is taught in the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Everybody say the law, of sowing and reaping. And then, of course, Romans 8, 2 gives us another law. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Everybody say the law, of the Spirit of life, in Christ Jesus. And so we said this before, and we suggested to you that these are big four. These are the big four. There are many different laws of the Spirit, laws of the kingdom, but these are the big ones. These are some of the big ones. And so we said that we have to obey these laws. Now, you may can get away with a traffic law if no cop is there, no cameras are pointing at you, and nobody's recording your 15 miles over the speed limit. And so you can get away with that law. But you can't get away with not obeying or complying with spiritual law. These are so important because God wants us to know them so we can act upon them accordingly. And the benefit is our abounding, our increase, our excelling in life. God wants his children to abound, to increase, and to excel. And so you cannot, it's very limited to do that if you're not obeying these four spiritual laws, as we're suggesting to you. And so these are our big keys. Really, really big keys. So we talked about last week the law of faith in a great degree. And today, let's talk about the law of love. Everybody say the law of love. So in James chapter 2, verse 8, he said, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. So that's the law of love. He calls it the royal law. In other words, this is the big one. This is the one. This is the important one. And then he says to us in Mark 11, 25, 26, and whenever you stand praying, whenever you're praying, he said, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Forgive him. Everybody say forgive. That your Father which is in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So this is walking in forgiveness, which is part of that law of love. Everybody say, I am supposed to walk in love and walk in forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is, there's two main manifestations of love, we said. That is to give. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And then it is to forgive. You have to give forgiveness to people. Now, I like how the Amplified says it. If you have aught, anything against anyone, a tiny little grudge, a tiny little offense, something that's messing up your soul and your heart about someone, if you have anything against anybody, that means freely and readily forgive. Now, forgiveness is a process. It's a process that inquires or implies steps. And so the Amplified lays it out. Let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. Give up the resentment. Everybody say it with me. Let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. Give up the resentment. So you go through that offense is like this iPad here, and you said you drop it. You drop the charges against them in your heart and mind. If you have anything against anyone, drop it. Drop the accusation. Drop the condemnation. Let it drop. Everybody say, let it drop. Let it drop. And then leave it. Don't pick it back up. Leave it for the Lord to deal with. Your unforgiveness reduces your faith to zero. And God says your forgiveness is conditional on you forgiving others. Everybody say, let it drop. Leave it. Then let it go. 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 Walk away from it. That means you turn the other way and let it go. You don't bring it back up again. You don't remind them 5 days later, 5 weeks later, 5 months later, 5 years later. You remember back when I thought we let that go. You didn't let it go. And then the last step is give up the resentment. Everybody say, give up the resentment. So when you're bitter, when you are bothered about something from someone or somebody, you're bothered about it, you don't give up the resentment, because that bothering is that root of bitterness. Hebrews said it's a root of bitterness. It'll spring up and trouble you. So you're looking at somebody sideways. You're looking at somebody cross-eyed. I remember the last time they treated me wrong. They did me wrong. You singing that old song. Some of us, I'm going to date myself a little bit. You know, somebody done somebody wrong song. And so some people like to talk about how somebody done me wrong. That's the song of bitterness. You have to give up the resentment. Hallelujah. That's the song of resentment. That means you resent people, a person. Everybody say, let it drop.
Let it drop.
Leave it.
Let it go.
Give up the resentment. What? When? When? When you have anything against anybody. Now, we got to walk this out. This is working out. He didn't even say when you feel like it. Because we're going to talk about love is not a feeling. It's a choice. Everybody got that? Everybody say, I must walk in love and walk in forgiveness. So some people don't think walking in love means walking in forgiveness. Well, the Father God told us we are to love who? Our enemies. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies. They're, what? What? People drinking Haterade and spitting fire at me all day, and I'm supposed to love them? He said, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless those who what? Curse you. Bless means simply to say something good about them. When they saying something bad, that's cursing. It's not Texas cussing. We're not using, talking about profanity. You shouldn't use profanity, right? Praise God. But you shouldn't use profanity. He said, bless those, say something good about those who curse you, who say something bad about you. Love is not a noun, friends. It's a verb. It takes an act. Love is love in action. Love is action. I'm going to actually love my enemy. Somebody don't even like me, I'm gonna love them. Oh, y'all here? You're going home already. Love my enemies. Do good to those that hate me. What? I gotta be a do-gooder for folks that spit in haterade. They drinking haterade for instead of Gatorade, you know, and you got nails for breakfast and they shooting them all at you. They nailing you. Do good to them. Bake them a pie, their favorite meal. Take them shopping. Buy their groceries for a week or a couple days. I'm doing good to you. Ooh-wee. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. They post a bad Facebook post on you. What do? You love them. You don't retaliate. You don't say, I got to stand up for myself. I got to talk back for myself. Bless those who curse you. And then he says, pray for those who persecute you. That's people who ostracize you, criticize you, castigate you, intimidate you, talk about you. They backbite against you. He said, pray for them, not pray against them, pray for them that persecute you and use you and despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. He said, pray for them. That means we should be on our knees. We should be in prayer, praying for someone who's persecuted us, who's used us, who's abused us. Amen. Now, that it takes the love of God to do this. Because some people say, well, I'm being a Lord. I'm just staying to myself. No, no, no. You, love is a verb. That means you got an enemy, go love him. Now, because he goes on and caveats it and says, if you love those who only love you, what reward have you? He said, don't even sinners and publicans do the same? Everybody loves their own kind. Everybody loves their homies, their people. We got love up in here. We got love amongst friends. But what about loving somebody who's different? Who's in division against you? Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. John 13, 34, 35 says, a new commandment. Everybody say commandment. Commandment is like a law. Jesus is laying down the new standard. He said, I give to you that you love one another as I've loved you. That you also love one another. By this all men shall know you are my disciples if you have what? Love one for another. So this is the New Testament commandment of love. He begins to speak it in John 13, John 14, and John 15. And tell us love, love, love. He's telling us the Holy Spirit too, but he's also telling us love, love, love. His final days of life on earth, he's telling us we need the Holy Spirit and you need to love. You need the Holy Spirit to learn. You need the love of God to love the right way. Romans 13, 8 and 10 tells us, owe no man anything except to love one another. Everybody say, love one another. For he that loveth has fulfilled the law. That's not sitting on the couch with the remote in your hand saying, I love everybody. Love is an action word. It's a verb. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witnesses. You shall not covet. If there be any other commandment, and it is, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Isn't that beautiful? See, God is love, friends, and we are love children of a love God. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 tells us, love prevails. Love always wins. Everybody say, love never fails. Love prevails. Love always wins. See, everything in life responds and works by faith, but faith works by love. Our faith is operative, active, and energized through the love of God. Love is the first fruit of our newborn, recreated human spirit. We are to love one another. We are born to love. We are wired to love because we were reborn out of love. So we possess the spiritual capacity as children to walk in love and walk in forgiveness. Romans 5:5 tells us, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit he's given us. Love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, our spirit, the God kind of love. This is not natural human love. Natural human love is selfish. It's self-centered. Now, there's four kinds of love. When we talk about the Greek definitions or Greek language, which the New Testament was written in, first of all is phileo. That's brotherly love. Friendship love. That means we homies. We ace bukun. We pizos. Part of our posse. We got friends. We're friends. But that's natural human love. The next one is eros, which is romantic or sensual love. Now, a lot of folks doing, unfortunately, a lot of folks doing it outside of marriage, but it's supposed to be the context of marriage. Praise God. Well, let's keep going. Eros love. And then, of course, there's sturgo, which is family or domestic love. That's like the love of a parent, grandparent to a child, grandchild, vice versa. Love of a child to parent. Love of siblings, brothers and sisters. All three of those are natural human love. Now, when he said, this commandment I give to you, that you love one another, he's not talking about love in these three natural ways. Because that's not good enough. Eros is not good enough. Phileo is not good enough. Sturgo is not good enough. He's telling us a new word, a word that identifies and trying to magnify the love of God. Why? Because this natural human love won't work. It's not good enough. It's the God kind of love. It is the Greek word agape. Agape. Agape is the unconditional, sacrificial love of God. Now, these are the four characteristics of the love of God. I'm glad you asked for them. Number one is love is compassionate. Everybody say compassionate. Now, Psalms 145:8-9 tells us the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and a great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. Now, compassion, friends, is defined, one of the definitions, as an intense, eager yearning to do good. Thank God God's is compassion. In Psalms 89, the Bible says that his compassions, Lamentations chapter 3, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. It's because of the Lord's mercy. We don't wake up and just obliterate and blow apart. It's because of the Lord's mercy. He know what you did last night. He know what you did last week. He still got you up. He still called you to breathe. Woo, glory to God. God is compassionate. He's a do-gooder. Now let's look at compassion in an example sense, because in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus kind of described this. And I'm reading in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. I'll start with verse 25. Luke 10:25, New King James Version. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? Verse 27, so he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So he's a lawyer. He knew that. He can quote it. And he said, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Who is Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, this guy wasn't going down. He was going up. I mean, he wasn't going up. He was going down. Because to Jerusalem to Jericho was a downhill slope, 17-mile journey. And it was known as the Road of Blood, considered by many as a place to get robbed, beaten up, and stolen from, historically speaking. And so this man was going down. In other words, spiritually speaking, people leave the place of God, the house of worship, and they want to walk away and go back to the world. That's not going up. That's going down. Let's keep going. And he fell among thieves who were stripped, because in this road, this 17-mile road, was windy curves and caverns in the side of the hill that were thieves and robbers kind of hid away and snuck away in, and they can jump on people that are traveling through that road. And he said he stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now his brother's beat up. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by and on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and came and looked and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan. Now, Jesus goes to the lowest class, to this lawyer, because he messes up his theology a little bit. How many of you know God's love will mess up your theology sometimes? Because they hated Samaritans. They had no dealings with the Samaritans. So for him to say that to this lawyer was really slap in the face, culturally speaking. And as he journeyed, came there, and he saw him, and he had what? Compassion. Everybody say compassion. And so he was moved by this intense, eager yearning to do good. And he said, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day he had departed, he took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, so will I come again. When I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So this lawyer, a student of the Mosaic Law, also called a scribe, he did not ask his question sincerely, intending to trap or test Jesus Christ. The religious scholars of that time loved to discuss the urgent social problems of the day without ever wanting to solve them. I mean, there's a whole bunch of rhetoric out there today. People talking and ain't doing. I know that's bad English, sorry. Amen. People want to blog this and tweet that and post that about social ills and social problems and spiritual problems of our society, but who's doing something about it? This lawyer's love was not merely a concept to study and not a commandment to do. So the question is, how do you see your neighbor? How do you see your neighbor? Y'all got quiet on me. See, compassion does not originate in religion or responsibility. You can imagine that priest running right by him saying, I got to get to the temple because this is my 2-week duty, so I'm just focused. You can imagine that Levite saying, that's not my job. I ain't supposed to be touching somebody like that. I'm going to give up my stoop low and help somebody else. That's not my job. So they both went by the other side. They wanted to avoid the opportunity to love and show compassion. Now, Jesus doesn't exaggerate, make whopper stories, tell tall tales or anything like that. Jesus is telling the truth. There's three kinds of people that respond to needs of others. And he said, those motivated by the compassion of God, the love of God, will respond the right way. As I said before, compassion does not originate in religion or responsibility, but with a relationship with God. God is love. And so as you fellowship with love himself, then you, the outpouring of that, the out expression of that is to love other people. How can you just spend time with God, a loving God, and come out and hate on other people? You can't do it. You can't come out of the presence of God and be snobbish and snooty and self-centered and stuck on yourself and stuck to yourself. Come on now. Hallelujah. You come out of compassion and you move with that compassion. Right. Some people love religiously or out of responsibility. It's my job to do it. I'll do it now. Jesus talked about that. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John 14, some people look at it as just a duty and not a devotion. Amen. Looking at people with the eyes of love, tender, merciful, kind in heart. Somebody say glory to God. And secondly, love is a choice. Everybody say love is a choice. Love is not a feeling, it's a choice. That puts it in the spiritual class, not in the emotional class. Because, see, natural human love can turn to hate overnight. You have family feuds, family fights. You have people fighting who used to be friends. That's why it's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's steeped in selfishness. It'll turn overnight. I'm done with you. I don't want to deal with you anymore. I ain't going to talk to you anymore. But you must choose to love and choose to forgive. That's right. Everybody say, I choose to love with the love of God, and I choose to forgive. That means if they do something, even if they don't even come and ask you for forgiveness, you say, Father, I love them, you love them, I forgive. I let it go. I let it drop. I leave it. I let it go. I give up the resentment. Lord, bless them, surrounded with faith and love. Amen. You're getting ready to go into a crowded restaurant, and they're short-staffed on waiters. You don't get upset and irritated with everybody. You say, I love them. You love them. I forgive everybody in here. Maybe they got your order. You got your steak wrong, and you're throwing a fit at the table. Come on, now, you just like the priest and the Levite. You running around acting like that. You a bag of chips, all that in a bag of chips. Hallelujah. Woo! And when you get older, you should be more lovable. You should be like a spiritual teddy bear. I mean, every time somebody touch you, you just like a sponge, ooze out love. You squeeze out love. Come on, touch my arm. That's compassion right there. That's love right there. Come on now. You're not bitter, you're better. 1 John 3:23 says, and this is commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave commandment. We have the power to choose. We have the power to choose love and to choose to forgive. Everybody say, love is compassion. Love is a choice. And third, love is a commitment. Love is a commitment. This is a commitment to meet the needs of another for the rest of their life without asking for anything in return. Why? Because love of God is unconditional. That means I'm love you whether you love me back or not. I'm going to meet your needs whether you meet mine or not. See, this will solve a lot of family fights or a lot of marriage situations. Because when you think about you, you're in the center of it. You say, it's all about me. favorite radio station is playing, WIIFM. What's in it for me? You don't do nothing for me. Why should I do something for you? This is a quid pro quo. This for that. You give me this, I give you that. Come on, let's negotiate. It's a 50-50 proposition. No, that's not the love of God. The love of God says 100% in. I'm 100% into you. I'm 100% to love you with the love of the Lord. And I love you to the day I die. Whew. Without expecting one thing from you. Now, you can't do that out of your flesh. Your flesh wants something back. Your flesh wants a response. Your flesh wants a reply, something in return. You ain't gave me nothing in a minute. What's wrong with you? That's not commitment. Everybody say, love is commitment. Jesus said, the Lord said through the writer of Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, he said, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness. Covetousness, that means you're wanting stuff. Let it be without covetousness. Be content with such things you have. For he himself said, I will never what? Leave you, nor forsake you. So that you may boldly what? Say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. The Lord is my helper. God has shown that he's committed to us for the rest of his life, for the rest of our lives. He said, I'll never leave you. That's physical. And he said, I'll never what? Forsake you. That's emotional. I'm not going to take my heart away from you. I'm not going to walk out on you. I'm not going to take my heart away from you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everybody say, love is commitment. And then, of course, fourthly, love is caring. Everybody say caring. So we see compassionate. Everybody say compassionate. Choice, commitment, and caring. Now, this is a good list to kind of measure yourself against. And you have the power to love because the Holy Spirit's in you. You can't do it out of your emotions and flesh. You don't have the ability or capacity to do it out of yourself. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You have to yield to that love. You have to believe the love, and then you have to act upon that love. You have to allow that love to dominate you, to dominate your flesh. When you want to talk back, when you want to say something ugly about somebody, when you want to come back real quick to somebody, you shut up. Because you said love does no harm to anybody. That means I'm not going to speak against that person because that would contribute against to their downfall. If somebody comes in your company, comes in your group, and they start talking about somebody else not in that group, you shut up. The love of God, the love of Christ constrains us. Hallelujah. Why? Because for me to say something is to contribute to their downfall. Amen. So I don't speak of evil against that person because it would contribute to their downfall. Now, that's tough today when everybody's talking about everything and everyone. Everybody's on social media, and thank God for social media, but sometimes it gets abused. Everybody got something to say, something to text, something to talk about. Talk about the love of God. Talk about the goodness of God. Talk about the Father, I know you love him. I love him. I forgive him. Amen. Caring is anticipating one's needs and fulfilling them. Anticipating the other's needs and meeting them or fulfilling them. God did it to us, Romans 5:8. But Christ demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were still sinners, while we were saying, God, talk to the hand. I won't have nothing to do with you. I'm running away. I'm serving the devil. And God says, I'm still loving you. I'm still waking you up every morning. I'm still giving you breath in your lungs. I'm still giving you food to eat. I'm still giving you clothes to wear. I'm still causing you not to get in a car accident or not to die prematurely. I'm still God, and I still love you. He cares for us. Know how much he cares for you? Jesus even said, he said, you're more valuable than spirit. He said, your very hairs of your hair are numbered. That every single hair follicle, I don't have much, but some of you got quite a nice hairdo. Appreciate that. I'd like to see that. But you know, God knows every inventory number of your hair follicles. He knows your thoughts are far off. He He cares about you that detailed, that delicate, that intimate. And he says, I anticipate your need. Everyone in this room needed a Savior because we were born in sin. We were lost and undone. We deserved a sinner's death and a hell that was the price for our sin. But he gave us Jesus. He said, you need to be saved. You need a Savior. And he said, while we were yet sinners, what he did, he said, Christ died for the ungodly. Somebody said, glory to God. It's the only weapon, friends, that can solve the problems that tear people apart. Love always wins. Love never fails. Love prevails. 1 John 3:11 and verse 23, for this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Everybody say, love one another. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So we're to love unconditionally. We should love sacrificially. We should not merely tell others of God's love, but show them that God loves them through the demonstrations of our love. And thirdly, we should love personally. The only Christ people will ever see is the Christ that they see in us. Amen. Evidence as a person that has passed from death to life. Well, let me read the scripture for this last scripture here, and we're going to close. 1 John 3:10-16 says, for in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. What's the distinguishing characteristic? He's telling us. Whosoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. There's a love line. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. He got haterade in his system. He saw his brother, grew up with his brother, and took him out to the field and said, I'm going to kill you. See, we think hate starts when somebody's putting a knife in you or pulling a gun out in your face. Hate begins when love, active loving, stops. The hate begins when there's an absence of love. That's the I refuse to love you with the love of the Lord. Verse 13, do not marvel, my brethren, that the world hates you, for you know we pass from death to life because we, what? Love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Now, he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to Christians. For whoever hates his brother is a murderer, because you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for who? The brethren. That means the family of God. God said, don't be like the priest or the Levite. Be like the Samaritan that says, I'm going to look at my brothers and sisters and look at them through the eyes of compassion. I'm going to choose to love them. I'm going to choose to forgive them. Come on now, I'm going to be committed to meet their needs the rest of my life without asking anything in return, and I'm going to extend caring toward them. How can I do that, Pastor? You can do it by the love of God. You can't do it in your own strength, but it's your choice. See, these two states, life and death, a Christian believer can abide in those two statuses. It tells us that the lack of love is evidence that the saving change has not come to the forefront. He's saying, this is how you know I passed from life to death, Because I'm actively loving one, not just sitting in church, not just sitting looking spiritual, but not being spiritual. It's about loving. Y'all good? Y'all get something out of this today? Amen. Those who do not share their love to fellow believers are wicked like Cain. In fact, hatred of other believers is tantamount to murder in God's eyes. I didn't kill anybody. You do according to God's standards when you hate somebody. Let's obey the law of love. Stand to your feet, please. Just stand with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I choose to love. Choose to forgive. If we don't get anything, we got to get this one. This is a big one. This is a royal law. Amen. Get back on your love game. I'm not talking about love or just loving people that you hang around or you run with. You love enemies. The church and the community will be revolutionized when we all go all in to loving people with the love of the Lord. Amen. And we have the capacity to do it. He gives us his love to love others with. We have to make the choice, though. Amen. Now, with every hat bowed, every eye closed, and we're going to be